Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. This is the season of invitations to barbecues and weddings, to pool parties and picnics. And while Facebook and email may be the most convenient way to get your invitations out, there's nothing like a personal invitation extended from one to another. Nothing warms your heart like knowing that the host so wanted you to attend his celebration that he went out of his way personally to ensure that you would be there. But such invitations to earthly gatherings are hardly even worth comparing to the invitation that has been sent to you by our Lord Jesus Christ to join with him in his heavenly feast. And know this well. The Lord has sent his personal invitation to you through his word. Yes, Christ so wills for you to attend his celebration that he has gone out of his way personally to ensure that you would be there. He does this in our Old Testament lesson today. In Proverbs, wisdom has issued an invitation to the divine feast. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. What a blessed invitation indeed, sent not to the rich and powerful, not to the wise and learned, but rather to the simple. An invitation to leave behind simplicity, that is ignorance and foolishness, and to live, to have real life in the fullest. To walk in the way of insight, that is to walk in the way of wisdom itself, and to eat of the bread of wisdom and drink of the wine mixed by wisdom. Yes, even the finest food prepared by the most skilled chef would be junk food, next to the feast prepared by wisdom, a feast to which wisdom has invited you. And the same invitation is described by Jesus in our gospel today, the parable of the great banquet. In this parable, Jesus tells of a man who gave a great banquet and invited many. It was no spur-of-the-moment gathering. The man had been preparing for this great banquet for a long time, long enough that he not only sent out an invitation to his guests at the very beginning, but then he sent out his servant to remind the invitees to the banquet and tell them that everything is now ready. See how deeply the Lord loves you and loves all. He not only invites you, but would call you again and again, reminding you to join him at his table. Now, it doesn't take a scholar of religion to see that the invitations in this parable are the call of the Holy Spirit to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and to receive his saving gifts in word and sacrament. Wisdom is, of course, God himself, who calls not to the proud, but to the humble, to the sinner, and invites sinners to come, leave behind simple ways, that is, to repent of their sins. He calls them to live, that is, to receive his forgiveness. He calls them to walk in the way of insight, that is, to live the life of faith and love for the neighbor. He calls them to come eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed, that is to receive the gifts of the Lord in faith, particularly the gift of the Lord's Supper, Jesus' true body and true blood. And the Lord sends out this invitation through his servants, through the apostles and the prophets, whose word we have in the scriptures. He does so through their successors, the pastors and the teachers, who invite you saying, come, for everything is now ready. He does this through your fathers and mothers in the Christian faith, through whom you have heard this call. Don't delay, don't wait. For the feast is prepared for you right now. It's ready right now. And this is where that well-intentioned man who reclined at table with Jesus in our gospel lesson was a little bit off base. For it's not a future thing at all, as he had said, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God, as if it's something that hasn't happened yet, but will someday. No, rather, We are talking about a present reality, something before us here and now today. Blessed is everyone who does and is eating bread in the kingdom of God. The Lord's feast is not far off in the distant future for you. Rather, it is here for you right now, because you need it right now. You need forgiveness, life, and salvation right now. And so God gives it to you right now. And yet we know there is often animosity or indifference towards God, the God who would invite all people to live, to walk in the way of insight. Why do men and women reject God's invitation to feast with him at his table? Yes, even those who are members of the church. Some indeed respond with anger. Scoffers abuse those who would correct, and wicked men injure those who would reprove, says Proverbs. We've all heard it before when we've invited our friends, family members, co-workers, and neighbors to church. Who are you to tell me how to spend my time? I can worship God in my own way. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, you know. There's just a bunch of hypocrites and bigots there anyway. Others, however, respond with indifference. Jesus says in the parable, all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out to see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. All alike have their excuses, and all are lame. You bought a field, and you haven't even seen it yet? You bought 5 yoke of oxen that you haven't even examined yet? No farmer or rancher, but I'm pretty sure that buying land and livestock without seeing them first is a bad idea. You can't come because you married a wife? You know, in the Old Testament, there are exceptions granted for military service if you just got married. But we're not talking about going to war here. We're talking about an invitation to a great banquet. And who wouldn't want to take their new bride to a fancy dinner in a royal palace? No wonder the master of the house became so angry. These excuses are all foolish. And Jesus tells this parable with such foolish excuses to show how foolish our excuses are as well. We have chores to do around the house. I have a honey-do list 1 mile long. My kid has sports. I have things that I can only do on Sunday morning. Or this is our family time. We're going hunting, fishing, swimming, shopping, biking, hiking, or any other family activity except attending church together. I have my own party to get ready for. We stayed up late last night at a party. This is my only day to sleep in. Yes, there's always an excuse. So we look around, we see empty pews. There's an excuse for every empty seat in the Lord's house. Now, one might expect this to be the point where the sermon begins to wrap up nicely. You don't come to church, that's a sin. Jesus died for you, so your sins are forgiven, and everything is okay. Amen. But that's no gospel at all. It's really no comfort at all. It's just another excuse in the end, this time from God. As if he were saying, well, you have your excuses, no big deal, maybe next time. And truth be told, that's what the old Adam, our sinful nature, would like to hear. But that's not what Jesus says. It's not how he ends this parable. Instead, he says, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. And indeed, those who reject the Lord's own invitation to hear his word and receive the sacrament do so at risk to their own souls, with the very real possibility that they may be shut out forever. There are many who would call themselves Christians who will hear this judgment of the Master. Jesus says this elsewhere in the Gospel when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes, there are many who would call themselves Lutheran. Even some, I fear, who call themselves members of this congregation, who may not taste the Lord's banquet as they reject his invitation week after week here on earth. And Jesus reminds us in our parable today that the fault is not with him, but rather with them. For how can those who reject the Master's banquet be forgiven when they reject the very means of grace by which forgiveness is granted? How can those who refuse the Lord's feast receive life if they reject the very place and time where life is bestowed? What hope is there for those who reject wisdom's invitation to feast and live? There is no hope, except in that invitation itself. Therefore, take heart. The end has not yet come. Now is still the favorable time. Now is still the day of salvation. You're not dead yet, and Christ has not yet returned in glory. He is coming again soon, but not yet. Until that day, again and again and again, God is sending out his personal invitation. And even if his invited guests reject that invitation, God doesn't sulk. He doesn't throw a pity party. He doesn't give up. Instead, he keeps on inviting and inviting and inviting until his house is filled. Now, why is God so tenacious, so persistent? Because God is love. He is boundless in his grace and mercy. And he knows that you need what he offers here more than anything else. He knows that what he gives to you here is the most blessed, most holy, most wonderful thing in all heaven and earth. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. He was slaughtered for the sins of the world. He laid down his very life for you out of his great love for you. And his body once broken and his blood once shed is now given to you with the bread and wine here in his holy feast, the sacrament of the altar. Here in this place, God's house, the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus Christ on the cross is given to you in his word and sacraments. Here, eternal life, the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body after death, is given to you. Here, salvation from the threats and the temptations of the devil is given to you. If you want forgiveness, life, and salvation, there's no other place to go. So listen to your Master's invitation. Come here. Open your ears. Open your mouths. And celebrate the festival, the marriage feast of the Lamb once slain, the great banquet that has been prepared for you by the Lord our wisdom. Because our Lord loves you so deeply, he calls and calls and calls again and keeps on calling until his house is full. If those who were first invited rejected his call, then the Master calls the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And if this is accomplished and there is still more room, the Master goes out to the highways and the hedges that his house may be filled. Thus, if the children of Israel who were first invited rejected God's call, then God called the Gentiles, sending his preachers to all corners of the world, to people of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, that his holy house may be filled. And in this holy house, which is filled with brothers and sisters of every skin color, speaking in every language, there's joy, peace, and confidence, unlike any found elsewhere in the world. Yeah, one can offer their excuses for missing out on the feast, but in the end, they're only hurting themselves. And so wisdom's call has gone out to the world. Come, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed. Come, for everything is now ready. Not all will hear this call. Even those who would claim to be Christian may reject it. But the voice of wisdom will not be silent, not until the last day finally dawns. Therefore, while the time is still favorable, hear the voice of your good shepherd. Listen to his call. Do not delay. You don't know when your last hour is coming. And therefore, while it is still called today, repent of your sins and receive forgiveness from God himself. Come, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting life. Come, be saved from death and hell. Come, for everything is now ready. God's kingdom comes to you. And therefore, blessed is everyone who eats bread in the kingdom of God now. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.